This morning we are back on our study of the parables, and today we are going to study the parables of obedience. That's a word that not a lot of people like to hear anymore, obedience, but it is something that Jesus taught was extremely, extremely important, and we're going to see today why. And I want to start off by giving you some questions and making it let you think about this. There's some blessings that God promises in His Word, and here we go. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 2, God told Israel that He would set them above all other nations if they did this. Same verse, He tells us all that blessings will come upon us and will overtake us. So think about that. The blessing is coming on us and it will overtake us if we do this. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 9, He said that He would prosper us abundantly. That's a great word, abundantly. It means a whole lot if we do this. Romans 2:13 says we will be declared justified before God if we do this. God's Word said in John 9:31 that God will hear our prayers if we do this. Now, hopefully y'all are thinking, okay, what is this, right? Everybody thinking that? What every single one of those verses, and I could have gone on and on for my entire time this morning, every single one of those verses ends in, if you obey. If you obey. So obedience is a pretty big thing. And God promises these blessings to those who obey. And you know, we saw last week, James warns us in his writing that we are supposed to be doers of the Word, not just hearers only, lest we deceive ourselves. So today, we're going to see where James got that, because a lot of people think, well, golly, that's a pretty harsh saying. Be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only, lest you deceive yourselves. And we talked Wednesday night, if you guys were here, about playing church. We can play church. We can come, we can do all those things, we can give, we can, you know, do everything, but we're not actually doing what God says to do. And that's what James was warning us about. He was giving us a series of tests, and that was the first one. And in his mind, it was fairly simple. Okay, you've heard God's Word. Are you doing God's Word? And he got that straight from Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to look at today. Before we get to our major parables, though, which is the wise and foolish builders. You may know it as the wise man and the fool. You may know it as the two builders. But before we get to that one, I want to start. Turn to Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32. We won't stand for this one. We'll stand in a minute. But this is what Jesus first said about obedience. Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. And he's talking to the chief priests and the leaders here. And he's telling them that they did not listen to John. They did not listen to God. They're not following God's command, even though they're playing religion. Verse 28, he says, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second son and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'Sir, I will go.' But he did not go. So Jesus asked, 'Which of these two did the will of his father?' And they said to him, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Assuredly, truly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you, for John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him.'" So Jesus is telling these chief priests and elders that they are not following God's commands. They're doing all the stuff that they've created. They're coming to the temple. They're making all the sacrifices, but they're not obeying God. So Jesus is going to tell us two parables today that appear, and they deal simply with obedience. A lot of people misunderstand these, but these start, the parables of the wise men and the fool, or the wise and foolish builders, they start with this question. Jesus says, "But why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say?" That's what starts these parables. So we know that he's talking here to the scribes and he's talking to the Pharisees, and he says, "Why do you call me Lord and not do what I say?" So what's his focus on? His focus is on doing, right? So let's look. Stand if you would. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to read verses 47 to 49, if my voice holds out. And while you're standing, we're going to read Luke 6. Also turn to Matthew 7. We're going to read the second way this parable is phrased, because they're almost exactly alike, but one phrases it a little differently, and I want you to hear both of them. So Luke 6, verses 47 to 49. Actually, we'll go back to verse 46, where it starts, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you who he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Now flip back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, verse 24. This is the same parable with a little bit different phrasing. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." You may be seated. So Jesus here shows us, remember, the parables take a heavenly lesson, and they set it beside an earthly story. And the earthly story is, you had a wise builder, and you had a foolish builder. So what do we see in this parable? The building, you will see, is the relationship that they have with God. They're both building a relationship with God. And the question is, what are they building it on? All right? So that's the building process. We see here that the wise man builds it on rock, on a solid foundation. The foolish man builds it on shifting sand. We sing that hymn, right? And then the rains come. Now, what do the rains mean in this? Well, they mean a couple of things. Number one, they mean judgment. So the primary means, you know, the flood we think about as, you know, being something that happened back in Noah's time. It was a form of judgment on the people of the earth. So the rain and the flood he's talking about here really talk about judgment. So the time of judgment comes, which one of these houses stands? It also talks about storms. So what are storms in our life? Storms are trials, tribulations, troubles. And what he's going to tell us, we'll see, is that if we're founded on the right principles, if we've dug deep and we've built that house on a solid rock, then we will be able to withstand the storms. So what this parable is really about is what I would like to call authentic discipleship. Authentic discipleship. And authentic discipleship requires three things that we can see from these stories. Number one, it requires coming. That's the first thing. I mean, that's pretty obvious, isn't it? Both of these builders had started work on their homes. They had started building their, what we would call their religious life. They had started their relationship with Jesus. So that's good, right? It always has to involve coming. Faith is going to come in, and you have to come to Jesus Christ. So that's step one. Step two is hearing. Now, no one would ever dispute the fact that hearing is important. So you have to come, you have to start your path toward Jesus Christ, and you have to hear. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So we have to hear. But the point James is making and the point Jesus makes in these two parables is that coming and hearing is not good enough. It's not sufficient. Because you know what? You can teach people that come into a church building every day, you can teach them about Jesus Christ. There are people much smarter than me that know everything about Jesus' birth, Jesus' life, Jesus' death, and you know what? They do not believe. This is what Jesus is saying. We have to do something else other than simply come and hear. Now, those two are important. But are you kind of getting the idea that it is a very big deal to obey? I hope so. Because the third thing is we have to do. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute, what is it that we have to do? Because we don't earn our salvation, right? We're saved by grace. What do we have to do to accept God's gift of forgiveness? Well, I just kind of told you. I messed that up. So we have to accept God's gift of forgiveness, right? You know, again, if I put a Christmas package in the middle of the floor and nobody takes it, then nobody got the gift, right? We have to accept it. So we have to do. And that's what we have to, that's the thing that we do have to do. And we have a personal responsibility for this. We can't say, well, you know what? My grandfather was saved. My mother was saved. My dad was saved. I must be saved. No, it doesn't work that way. We can come to church every single Sunday. We can come on Wednesday nights. We can hear it all. And we can leave these buildings and not be changed at all. And that's what Jesus is warning us about. If you think back to the parable of the soils that we started off with this whole parable study, you saw that the seed fell on multiple different kinds of soil. And on, you know, it fell on the hard soil. It didn't even take. The devil came and snatched it away. The birds came and snatched it away. It fell in some rocky soil and immediately it shot up. But the flower didn't last very long because trials and tribulations came and it dried out and withered. Then we saw that it came on loose sandy soil, shot up again, but it had no roots. So when the desires of the world came, when desires for worldly things came, it died out. But the one that fell on the rich soil that allowed it to take root and to grow was the one that produced the fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, 90-fold. So what Jesus is saying again is we must take in what he tells us and we must do. That word obedience. And you know, the Old Testament, if you got, I'm doing the Bible through a year and I've been in Leviticus for a while. And all of those old sacrifices keep coming up every day. You know, God laid out sacrifices for sin offerings. He laid out sacrifices for love offerings, all kinds of different sacrifices. And the people got really into the sacrifices. But you know what? They sort of missed the point sometimes. And by the time of Jesus' time, they certainly had missed the point. Here's what God said in 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. He says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed better than the fat of rams. So even in the Old Testament, what God is trying to get across to his people is, I want you to obey me. Now, why do we obey God? Do we do it to be saved? No. Why do we do it? Don't you think about that for a second. We should do it as a praise and an honor to him. We should do it out of love because, we understand how much he gave for us, how much of a sacrifice he made for us. Think about this. Jesus Christ, who had existed with God from all eternity, left heaven. All right? He came down to earth. He did not live in a palace. He lived in a bump in the road little town. He lived, you know, very modestly for 30 years. And then when he began his public ministry, he had no place to lay his head. He had no source of income. He would move from town to town. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He had enemies that were pursuing him. Can you imagine being so cocky that you think, I can pursue this Messiah, this King of heaven? But they did. And they kept trying to kill him. They kept trying to catch him. All of these parables we see typically, remember, these are started because he understood the Pharisees and the scribes were saying, man, this guy, he's eating with sinners. Why, he's talking to sinners. Why is he doing this? And he's trying to show them as one last invitation why he's doing it. He's opening up his heart to them. And then when we get to the cross, I mean, crown of thorns, spit upon, beaten, flogged, made to carry his own cross, and then nailed. And then the worst thing ever, for the first time in his existence, Jesus Christ was separated from God the Father. When all of our sin was put on him, he was separated. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? And we know the answer to that because God is pure. He cannot look on sin. Jesus Christ was made sin for us. Went into the grave. On the third day, he arose again, conquered sin for all of us. But if you think about turning your back on someone that you love, or if it's ever happened to you, someone that you love has just literally turned their back on you and walked away. You may have known them for 30, 40, 50 years. God the Father and Jesus were together for all eternity. That's what Jesus gave up. That's how much Jesus loved us. And the more we understand the love, the more we want to be obedient. The more we want to honor him, the more we want to do what his Father says. And how does it start? It starts like this. John 6:29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So Jesus basically says, this is the work of God, you believe in me. That's what it takes to be obedient. And once that change happens in your life, once you become obedient to God and you accept him, then you've got a whole lifetime, whether it be 5 seconds like the thief on the cross, 50 minutes, or 50 years, you've got a lifetime of opportunities for love. You've got a lifetime of opportunities for obedience. And Jesus' point is this. That when we are authentic disciples, when we come, we hear and we do, that it builds a solid foundation that will stand against the storms. It will resist the storm of judgment. It will resist the storms of trials and tribulations. Now, You notice it doesn't say it will stop you from having trials and tribulations. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God will be with us through the trials and tribulations that we have. He sends those trials and tribulations sometimes into our lives, or He allows them to happen. But what we see is that the wise builder, the wise man who built his house on the rock, got down to that foundation. And the foundation that Jesus Christ here is talking about is doing the will of God. Understand that. It's not simply hearing. It's not simply coming, although both of those are absolutely necessary. What gives you that strong foundation is that you do the will of God. You obey. And that's the story behind these two parables. Now, we can see in all those verses I read at the beginning, they tell you that obedience is a blessing to us. So we can look at, you know, there's lots of reasons to be obedient. Number one, we love Him. Number two, God's going to bless us because we're obedient. There's no doubt about that. Wednesday night, we're doing the second part of a series on God's promises, and you'll see how those promises come to fruition. And you'll see how things work. If we obey, then God grants this. But think about two others. Our obedience never simply benefits ourselves, does it? If we obey, let's think about what God says to do. God says, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So we look at that priority, God, others, and us. So if we obey that, just that one rule, who does it benefit more than us? Benefits Jesus first, others second, and then us. So yeah, we understand we get blessed because we are obedient, but it blesses other folks. Think about whoever it was that shared the gospel with you for the first time, or whoever it was that led you to Jesus Christ. What if that person hadn't been there? Would somebody else have come along? You know, God's going to give you your opportunity, so maybe. But think about how much that person meant to you, how much it was to them that they shared the Word of God with you. It always benefits somebody else. Well, what if it's just out cleaning up somebody's yard? Does that benefit somebody? Yeah, it does. What about go therefore and make disciples of all nations? Does that benefit others? Yes. Yes. In fact, when we look at the priority that Jesus Christ gave, He said, if you want to be my true disciples, you must deny self, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Follow me is the obedient part. We can't really be obedient until we're willing to deny ourselves, until we're willing to take up whatever cross it is, whatever is going to put us to death that day, our will, our hopes, whatever it is that would get in the way of doing God's will, we need to be willing to put aside. That's what He's saying. So it's always going to benefit somebody else. And then here's the other thing. When we obey God, we will never be disappointed. Y'all ever been disappointed before? In anything? Yeah. Thank you. Yes. We do. We get disappointed. But what do we do when we obey God? We know if we're doing God's will, He will honor it. You know, when you pray for somebody else, is that God's will? Yes. Do we always get what we pray for? No. But we have to know that God, who knows the end from the beginning, who knows all of what's going to happen, is going to do the right thing. So when we say, look, please intervene in her life or his life, God's going to do His will. And that ought to be good enough for us. It ought to make us want to pray for them. When we take the gospel to somebody and they hear, and you know, they may not join this church. They may not join any church that we know. But 25 years from now, they remember, hey, I attended VBS one time, and this is a message I got. I remember this. Or this guy shared the gospel with me, and it makes a difference. We will not know all of that stuff. You will not know the impact that you had until you get to heaven. But here's the point. How can I never be disappointed? And the answer is, I just obey God. Because once I obey God, I'm done. Who is it that takes what my obedience gives and makes it work? It's God, right? The Holy Spirit is going to take whatever words we say, bad, hoarse or not, and he's going to take them and he's going to put them into somebody's heart and somebody's mind, and he's going to use them to do what he wants to do. We're not responsible for other people's reactions. We're not responsible for the way they either accept or reject. What we are responsible for is to present that gospel. We are responsible to be obedient to God so that we have that strong foundation, so that we can look back on our lives and we can say, if I put a check mark by this question, did I obey God? Am I trying to obey God? Yes. And that's what Jesus is getting across here. We have to obey God. It's the same thing that James got across. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. So don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Don't let it be, anybody got one of those alerts that goes off every time there's a tornado watch somewhere? Anybody got that? You get numb to those, don't you? It's like, man, I wish I'd turn it off, turn it off. Well, that's a really bad idea if you're watching out for tornadoes. Turning it off is not a good plan. That's what we do to Jesus' words sometimes. We're like, okay, I'm tired of hearing about I've got to do this. I'm tired of hearing about he wants me to do this. We get numb to his commands. But he's stressing today, I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be a hearer only. I don't want you to think you're good. And I don't mean good in that sense. I don't want to think you're saved just because you come every weekend and you hear the gospel proclaimed every week. I want you to look at your life and I want you to see, here's the question, which house are you building? Are you building the house that's built on the rocks, or are you building the house that's built on the sand? Because you know what's going to happen to each of these houses. The one on the sand, it's gone. And great was the fall of it, is what he says. The one on the stones, the foundation, it stands. And that foundation is nothing more than what he described today, and that is doing his will. First step, believe in Jesus Christ, that God has raised him from the dead, and that he is your Lord and Savior. Beyond that, you know, we had a baptism in the family today. That's the next step. Then it's a lifetime of obedience. It's a lifetime of opportunity. And we should look at that as an opportunity, not just, oh man, I've got 50 years to live for Jesus. I've got 50 years to work for Jesus. I've got all this time. Instead of, I'm going to have to follow these rules the rest of my life. That is not at all what being a Christian's about. It's letting Jesus and the Holy Spirit work through you, getting out of their way, but focusing on him, being available to them, being obedient to them. So if there's anybody here today who has not made step one, that's coming. That's you come to Jesus Christ, you say, Lord, I want a relationship with you based on what your son did for me. I know that I am a sinner. I confess that he is Lord and Savior and that you have raised him from the dead, and I want him in my life. That is step one. And then from there on, if you've made that confession, then you are in the kingdom. The question is, how strong is that foundation? Are you continuing to build on God's truth? Are you continuing to obey? And that should be our goal every day. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you this morning for these two simple parables. We can understand them. We can understand that it's something that you want us to do, that you want us to take your word and live it out, that you want us to take your word and let you live through us, not just hear it, keep it in a vacuum, not just come and listen, but to come, to listen, to hear it, to process it, and then to take it out and do it. Lord, we understand that more clearly today than we have, Lord, and I thank you for these stories, and I thank you for this lesson. Lord, I pray that you sink this lesson deep into the hearts of everybody here, because we are going to always have an opportunity to be obedient or to be disobedient. And just like the two sons in the first story we read, sometimes our attitude may not be the best, Lord, And we apologize for that. We confess that. But Lord, we do want to obey. We want to do what you want us to do. Lord, I ask that you show everybody in this church what you personally want them to do, and that you show us as a corporate body what you would have us to do. And that everything, every action, every thought, every word that is spoken be for your glory and for your Son. And this we pray in his name. Amen.